Hello.
Good morning. There we go. Good morning. So, good morning. Y'all awake this morning? I don't believe you. I don't believe you for a second. So, we are in week two of our Get Your Stuff Together series, but before we get going on that, first of all, I'm Wendy Bizzard. If we haven't met, I'm the co-lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And we're going to say our mission statement together because we do this every week, and hopefully then it just gets ingrained in your brain. And that way, if anybody says, well, what church do you go to? And you tell them Mercy Vineyard, oh, what's that all about? Well, we can say this, right? Say with me, we are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. And if they say, what does that mean? You can go, well, just come to church and you can find out, right? And then you hand them one of our cards. It's on the coffee bar back there. So, right? All right. But that's what we're all about. And so we want to keep that ingrained in us. And right now, in the middle of this series, we're all about growing because that's what Proverbs makes you do. Last week, Lee talked about how wisdom is the key for us getting our act together, and how cool is it that we have a God that generously gives us wisdom when we ask. That's what the Bible says, that when we ask for wisdom, he'll generously give it, and Karen was talking about that this morning, and when we ask for wisdom, he often gives us even more stuff, so super cool, but I need a drink. Water. Just water. Okay, so sometimes in Proverbs, it's kind of, when we read Proverbs, it can have an ouch factor, right? They're pretty straightforward. And last week, Lee laid some truth bombs on us. He tried to soften the blow a little bit with the cat video. It softened it a little too much. I don't know. Sometimes when we hear those things, though, or we read those things, it hurts a little. It has an ouch factor, but sometimes I think that we need that. Sometimes we need that from somebody who loves us. And you may have seen this circulating online, but I love it. Bill, go ahead and put that up there. Sometimes that's what we need, right? Pull yourself together. No? Am I the only one that needs that? Okay. So if you haven't seen Incredibles, that's Incredibles. So, I'm sure that many of you have heard the estimations of how many words per day people speak, especially because the common belief is that women speak more words per day than men, right?
Amen.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about words today, so you might want to be careful. So the numbers that have circulated in the past are that women use 20,000 words per day, while men use 7,000. However, wait a minute, fun fact, that's not true. I know, right? So there were no studies that actually validated those little estimates, right? I think that was just a man who was trying to, like, prove a point, honestly. But new studies say that on average, women speak about 16,215 words per day, and men speak 15,669 words per day. So only a difference of 546. Only 546. And then another fun fact, in this study, both the least and the most talkative participant were men. The most talkative participant in that study was a man, and he spoke 47,000 words per day on average. I think it depends on your job. I think it was Hudson that was that. So he can talk faster than anyone I know. I am talkative. I'll give him that. I can be, right? He can be too. But you guys, I love words. I love to read. I love to do word puzzles. I love, like, songs have special meaning to me because of the words. I mean, I like the music too, but the words are really important to me. and they have really deep meaning for me. And when I was 11, I had this boyfriend, and I know I was way too young for a boyfriend at 11, but really we were like boyfriend, girlfriend, and name only, because when you're 11, you just go, yeah, that's my boyfriend, but you never talk to each other for real, you know. You just kind of like smile at each other across the room and whatever. His name was Greg, and he was shorter than me, believe it or not, so I know, it's crazy. I think he's about my height, actually. I haven't seen him in many years. I don't know. Anyway, however, he decided to break up with me because he liked somebody else. Can you believe it? Doesn't seem right. Lee just said, thank you, God. So I don't know that I would have stayed with him from 11 till now, but anyway. Right about that time, a man named John Waite put out a song called Missing You. Go ahead. It's coming. It's coming. It's not coming. It's just circling. It'll take a while. We'll get there. We tried it like 3 times this morning. Anyway,
down this long distance line tonight, I ain't missing you at all. Yes. Missed you, baby. Oh.
That's awesome. I'm not the only one that's old enough to remember that song. Yay! So that was my anthem when he broke up with me. I sang that song over and over. I could sing all the words to you today, but I won't. So that was the song I sung through my tears after Greg broke up with me. So anyway, words have a lot of meaning, and Proverbs talks quite a bit about how we use our words. words are very powerful. The old saying that we heard as kids, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's so not true, is it? Because wounds that words can take or make take longer to heal from oftentimes than broken bones or, you know, physical wounds, don't they? Sometimes they stick with us for life. And on the flip side, an encouraging word can bring hope when there is none, when you're feeling low. And think back to when you were a kid and how meaningful your parents' words were or a teacher's words were when they just spoke certain things to you, whether for good or for bad, they had an impact on your life. And whether the words were true or not, we tended to believe them anyway, didn't we? Because, you know, when the adults are talking, we're listening. So our words can change the trajectory of our own lives, too. Our own words can. So I know a guy who, for several years, couldn't hold a job for very long because he would tell his boss exactly how he felt about him, like, all the time. It didn't go over so well, and he got fired. So if we don't use our words properly, we can get into a lot of trouble. And once they come out of our mouths, we can't take them back. So the damage is already done. Even if we can't reel them back in. And no matter how many times we say, oh, I didn't mean that, it's already out there, right? We see this a lot now on social media, because when we put our words out there on social media, they almost, like, they never go away. They're just out there now. And people can be fired over a Facebook post or lose the chance of getting a job over their Facebook page. And what you say on social media can either help or damage our relationships with others too, right? People post while they're angry or before they've thought through what they want to say, and it often bites them in the butt, right? Everybody's saying that, Cole, because we have all done it. Right? Haven't we all posted something where we're like, I should not have done that, right? We've all done it. James 3, verses 5 and 6 warns us about this. Let's read it. It says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Those are some strong words, yeah? But it's true. So we're going to talk about the power of our words and hopefully get our stuff together in this area, but first let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that your word offers to us in every area of our lives. And God, this is one area in particular that is difficult for us to control. So we just ask that you would speak to us as individuals, speak to us as a body. God, let your word come alive to us. And help us, God, to see what you are saying to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there's a verse in Proverbs that sums up what we need to know about our speech. And let's look at, it's in chapter 13, verse 3. It says, "Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything." Yeah. How many of you experienced that, where you opened your mouth and you ruined something? Yeah. Yeah. Some people are raising two hands. Can I put my foot up there? Yeah. So what we need to remember is that the way we use our words has a powerful impact on our lives. And I know we know this, but sometimes we don't think about how we use our words. We don't think about it a whole lot. We just go about our day and say whatever we say. Yeah, we just vomit out the mouth. So we can't get our stuff together if we just say whatever we feel or think whenever we think or feel it. We have to learn to control our words, and it must be possible because Scripture tells us to control our words, which means that we can, that God gives us that ability. So let's look at some specifics from Proverbs. So first off, there are some ways that God absolutely does not want us to use our words. And with good reason. So these words speak death. And in no particular order, they are gossip and slander, lying, and strife. So let's talk about each of those for just a minute. Slander is a false, malicious statement about something. Someone. This is done to purposely hurt someone or damage their reputation. If you've ever had this done to you, it's very, 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 very painful, right? Gossip, though, is spreading intimate or private facts. It's talking about things going on in other people's lives that you have no business sharing. Think about how you feel when someone gossips to you about someone else. Do you ever wonder, I wonder if they ever talk about me? If they're gossiping about them, do they ever gossip about me? And the answer is probably yes, because people who gossip tend to gossip about everybody, right? And so if you gossip about someone in your life and they find out, chances are they're not going to be sharing a whole lot with you anymore, right? Proverbs 18:28 tells us that gossip separates the best of friends. And so when we share things that are none of our business, we are asking for relationship, well, we're committing relationship suicide. And please, 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 for the love, do not spiritualize gossip by sharing it as a prayer request. That is not what it is. Just call it what it is. It's gossip. If that person didn't ask you to share it with somebody and get prayer, then you have no business sharing it to get prayer. You pray, right? Because that is not a prayer request. The second thing is lying, and Scripture is very clear that God hates lying. It uses that wording. God hates lying. Why? Because he is truth. He is truth, and Satan is the father of lies. So we lie in many small ways all the time, don't we? Even when we're not thinking that we're lying because when we share half-truths, or we lie to ourselves all the time. Right? So in close relationships, honesty builds trust and dishonesty builds suspicion. I've always told my kids that I will not lie to them, and I haven't. That doesn't mean I tell them everything. No, I haven't. I can say that with absolute certainty. I have not lied. And here's why. I always want my kids to be able to tell me the truth. I don't want them to ever lie to me. But I can't expect them to not lie to me if I lie to them, if I'm not truthful with them. And also, want them to be able to trust me when I talk to them about serious matters. So when they were little and they asked me, like, I didn't tell them stories about Santa, but I also, like, didn't say, no, he doesn't exist, right? We just kind of went along with it until they would ask me, I remember Forrest was like four, is Santa real? And I said, no, because I'm not going to lie to him just to make him have a fun. I just said, no, but we do it anyway. We pretend because it's fun. But here's the real meaning, because I didn't want him, then when he grows up, so we're telling him about Santa and we're telling him about, you know, this fictional character, and then we tell him about Jesus. And then he finds out as he grows up, Santa's not real, so what about Jesus? Like, we're telling them stories their whole lives, you know. We want them to believe what they tell us. So that's just an aside parenting note. But, well, you don't have to tell us right now. So we have to think about the damage that's done even in the little lies, because honesty breeds trust. And when we lie to ourselves, we're not able to move forward also in different areas of our lives, right? So we tell ourselves we don't need help, or we tell ourselves that we're not upset when we really are, and we need to talk out something with our spouse or a friend. And we tell ourselves, no, it's not a big deal, it's not a big deal. But it really is a big deal. And we lie to ourselves, and then we perpetuate the problem. So we lie to ourselves in order to avoid pain. But God hates lying, so we're not supposed to lie. And then the third thing was strife. And strife is conflict, but it's not healthy conflict. What strife does is damages unity. If you study what the Bible says about strife, it says that it comes when someone is acting or speaking out of anger or out of jealousy or bitterness. So debating a topic is one thing. You know, maybe you, or just even conflict, you get into conflict with people, it happens. But if you're stirring up conflict purposely, you're trying to stir up arguments, you're trying to dig, and not measuring your words, you're going to damage unity, and that's what strife is. So, just an aside, can you think of some ways that the body of Christ has been damaged by slander or gossip or strife or dishonesty? Oh, my word, yes, right? How many people have you talked to about church and they don't want to come, and that part of their reasoning is the people, their gossip, or they talk poorly about one another? Why our words are so important, and that's why God is so straightforward about this in Proverbs. The way that we represent Christ to the world is affected when we slander one another or when we slander those who are not like us. But, I mean, that could be a whole nother sermon, and I'm not going to go there today. We're talking about how to get our personal stuff together through our words, so let's move forward. I digress. So next, sometimes our words are better saved than said. Wise people restrain themselves in the use of words, and here's why. Restraint is necessary in order to really hear what the other person is trying to say. Proverbs 18, verse 2, this is one of my favorites. It says, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Is that not true for today? Fools have no interest in understanding. Yeah, it is. It's a picture of social media right there. So I don't care who you are, we're all guilty of this. All of us. So I am for sure. But when we don't really listen to others, when we don't listen, when we just wait our turn to speak, or we interrupt to get what we want to say out, and we don't really listen, we don't honor them, okay? And we don't, we assume that they don't have anything to offer on the subject, that we know everything. We've got it all, right? And even if you don't agree with someone, listening to them can give you perspective on where they're coming from. You don't have to end up in agreement. But if you don't even listen to them, you know, how how can you expect them to listen to you? Right? So this is one of the greatest needs. One of the greatest needs of every human is to be heard. And so if we don't hear others and we're too busy thinking about what we want to say, or we're too busy talking over them, then people will not listen to you, right? And who do you want to talk to when you have important things to share? Someone who's going to listen. And we can be that for other people. So number two, restraint is necessary in order to allow the strong emotions of the moment to pass. This is one of the best and most important lessons I have learned in marriage. I have not arrived, he will tell you, but by nature, I like conflicts to be resolved quickly, like now. I don't want to wait to talk about it. I want to talk about it now. But I have learned that waiting to talk until we're calm is a better idea. It works a whole lot better. I learned that if a disagreement begins to brew, that my first step should be to evaluate if this is even worth arguing about. Is this worth it? I don't know. I have to think about it. And if there was something that Lee did to upset me, I don't have to mention it right now. I can think on it, right? Because what ends up happening, I would say at least half the time, if he does something to upset me, and I wait on it, usually it passes. And I go, what was I even upset about? I must have been hungry. You know? Like, seriously. I must have just been tired. I was, you know, like, whatever. Or it was so insignificant. Really, do I need to bring it up? No. In the grand scheme of things, it does not matter. Let's not major in the minors, right? And so if there is something, though, that I need to talk to him about, this is something that he maybe he said something that hurt my feelings, then to talk about it right then is inviting it to get bigger, isn't it? Because in the heat of the moment, do we talk like we honor the other person? In the heat of the moment, are we even thinking rationally? No, we are not. We are yelling, or we're crying, or we're yelling and crying. If you're like me, you cry when you're sad, you cry when you're mad, and you cry when you're happy. So then he has to decipher, which is it? I don't know. Why is she crying? So usually, I can just bring it to him, speak calmly, and we can resolve it a whole lot easier than if I would have just let it out, right? Okay. We as a culture, we feel that it's within our rights to let everyone know how we think or how we feel, but doing it right in the moment that you're feeling it doesn't always go well for you. So how about when you comment on a Facebook post that ticks you off? Does that go well for you when you comment right then? How many of you have done like me where you typed a comment and then you hit the backspace bar going, nope, I'm not doing it. Yeah. Either because not necessarily, and sometimes it's not even because what you're saying is so wrong or so rude, but you know it might be taken that way. And why stir up the hornet's nest? Forget it. I don't want to dig into this. Right? Sometimes it's just not worth it. Restraint. Right? Okay. Our freedom of speech doesn't always have to be exercised. It doesn't. Yeah, we have the freedom to say whatever we want, but that doesn't mean we should. Because wisdom. Right? You know, Lee is always saying, it's not about what's right or wrong, but it's about what's wise in the Lord's eyes. So think about it before you say it, which leads us to the next one. Restraint gives you time to think about what to say and how to say it. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. We don't have to say everything that pops into our minds. The whole world does not have to know everything that's going on up there. It could be scary. So leave it in. So other than practicing restraint, how can we get our stuff together in regards to our speech? Because so often we find the words coming out of our mouths and we're like, no, and we wish we could take them back in. So just as like with any area of our lives, when we're seeking to change bad habits, we have to replace them with other habits, right? Good habits. So I have a few super simple, but not always super easy things that we can do. Number one, do inventory. So if you find yourself gossiping or using harsh words with others or lying or arguing for the sake of arguing, ask yourself why you feel the need to do so. Why am I doing this? Because often these things stem from our own insecurities or from unresolved anger that we need to deal with. We need to take time to pray about it and allow God to show us what's going on. So there was one point in my life where God showed me that the negative ways I was using my words stemmed from shame. I was saying things that I didn't need to say because I needed to validate me, but it was ending up hurting other people. And so once God showed me that and I let him heal that, then as I got on the road to healing, I noticed my words changing. So if there's resentment or jealousy or pride, your words are going to produce death. If there's hope and love and gratitude, then your words will produce life, right? Luke 6:45 tells us that what is in our hearts will come out in our words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So whatever is in there is what's going to come out here. So if you find yourself lying all the time, ask yourself, why? Am I doing this because I want people to think a certain way about me? And if so, that's not the right reasons, right? That's not the right way to do it. Or am I gossiping because I want to make myself look better? Side note, it doesn't work. When you say things to make other people look bad so you look good, it doesn't work. You just end up looking bad. So think about, do inventory, find out what's going on, ask God to show you what's going on in there. When you change your heart, you change your words. Ask before speaking. So what do I mean by that? We found these questions that we use with our boys when they started beginning to converse online. So we're saying, before you post, before you write, ask yourself these questions. And I think that they're helpful to have in our back pockets all the time. So here's what they are. Ask yourself, is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? And is it necessary? Before I say this, is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? And is it necessary? I came across this video of this woman, and I don't know who she is, but apparently she does lots of videos on the interweb. I don't know. You know, stuff just shows up in your feed. And she was sharing because in the course of like her video series or whatever that she does on YouTube, she said that people were commenting and telling her, she's a young lady, like 28. She said people were commenting and telling her that she really should dye her hair because she had gray in her brown hair. But they weren't just saying, hey, you might want to think about, you know, you would look really good if... No, they were really, really ugly about it. Like, you look ugly with that. You need to change. You need to, like, really, really ugly about it. So what she shared, though, was that she had this rare disease that caused her to age prematurely, and she was going to probably die by the time she was 40. And she was letting her hair go gray because her dream was to grow old with her husband. And for her to let that gray grow in, she was getting to live that dream out. She was growing old with her husband. Everybody who said these stupid things had no idea what was going on in her life. And I think that so often, especially online, because we're anonymous, but all the time, we say things about people and we have no idea what's going on. We have no idea. Even people who spout stupid things like online and you go, oh my goodness, what an idiot, da, 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 da. Wait, you don't know what kind of life they're living. You don't know what kind of hurt they have. And a lot of times people who talk angrily, it comes from hurt. And so we need to be slow to speak, right? Doesn't James talk about quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because we have no idea what's going on the other side. So ask yourself those questions. Is it necessary? Do we need to tell her that she needs to color her hair? No. Who cares? Listen to the words coming out of her mouth. That's what she's online for. So these questions will help filter our words. And you can disagree with someone and still be kind. So it's an art form, but we need to learn it. But you can disagree with someone and still be respectful and kind. Number three, build new practices into your life. Set reminders on your phone to send an encouragement someone's way. Because if you're not starting to speak encouraging words and speak life, you're just going to try to stop talking mean. But you're not going to ever, you're not going to change the way you talk. And I think that, and we've talked about this before, Midwest, they don't tend to be lavish with their praise. And I've had people tell me, like, I get really excited about something and I'm really lavish with my praise. And they're like, oh, you're so cute. Look how excited you get. I'm like, no, get excited with me. This is really important. We need to be, like, if any of you that go to camp with us, and we do heart notes at camp, and those are just encouraging notes. You catch somebody doing something or you see something that you like about them, you write them one or two sentences and they get it, you know, the next day. And aren't those the most wonderful things? I have one on my dresser that I read every day because it means that much to me. And when you're in that environment of encouragement and life-giving words, you feel like you can do anything, and you need to feel like that at camp. So why not do that all the time? You know, I know Hudson really tried this at home, and we as a family did not do well at this, but we should try it again. Where you keep a heart note jar and you just write a little something nice to somebody and put it in the jar, and at the end of the week would pull them out and read them at dinner time or something. Yeah, me and you tried, but, you know, yeah. It's, well, and you know what, we just needed to keep it going so that it became a habit, because it's going to take a while, and that's the point. You can't just try and go, well, it didn't work, so we give up. You know, we need to try it again, family. So we need to pull that jar out again, because I need encouraging words. And, like, oftentimes when somebody says something to the other in our house, like, and we go, oh, that was low. Now you got to say seven nice things. So they sit there, oh, okay, you're really smart. But, like, you got to build the person back up because you just said something mean, right? And it takes seven nice things on average to counteract the mean thing. So let's be a culture, especially since we're followers of Christ, shouldn't we be encouraging with our words? Shouldn't we be speaking life? Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. So, they, you know, like I said, put a reminder to send somebody a text. It doesn't have to be the same person every day. Send them a text. I like you. You know, it could be that simple. Or make an agreement with yourself to wait a certain amount of time before speaking about something that you're upset about. Okay, I'm going to wait 30 minutes or whatever you think you need to do. Right? If it takes you longer, Sarah, 24 hours. You might need to sleep on it. I don't know. It depends on the thing, probably, right? And practice gratitude. Because gratitude changes the way that you think, and it changes the way that you talk. Which leads me to the next step, which is to renew your mind daily. It always comes around to reading the Bible, doesn't it? That's because it works. we are Christ followers, so how do we know how to follow Christ if we're not reading His words? His words are what's going to guide us and lead us. So when we read it, even a verse or two, our focus begins to change. Have you ever noticed that? So when our focus changes, our thoughts change. And when our thoughts change, our words change. So maybe you struggle in one of these areas today. Maybe you have lost a relationship or a relationship is struggling because of your words. And imagine the freedom that comes from finding peace and security in God, because then we don't feel the need to lie to make ourselves look better. We don't feel the need to talk badly about someone to make ourselves look better. We don't feel the need to point out every time somebody upsets us. Or I know sometimes in the past, and this is what God dealt with me about when He was healing me of shame, is like you feel like you have to advocate for yourself for every little tiny thing. You don't. He will be your advocate. You have to trust Him in that. That doesn't mean you don't ever speak up when somebody is treating you poorly. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, think it through. Is this something that we need to talk about? Imagine the freedom that would come from just being secure in Him, knowing that you don't have to do that. Imagine the satisfaction that would come from settling issues within ourselves with the Holy Spirit's help and allowing us to confront relationship conflicts without all these hiccups, without all the silent treatments and the 3-day fights or whatever, right? So we're gonna pray together. We're gonna pray, and we're gonna pray for a few different things. Maybe there's some of you who you feel like you just can't control your words, like. You've tried and tried, but stuff just comes out. And you feel like you have no control. So I want to pray for you this morning. Also, there may be some of you here who you know that you feel combative at times and you feel like you don't know why. And you want to know, why is it that I feel the need to be combative or to be confrontational or whatever, because there's something going on here. If you're dealing with anger and you feel like you're angry with everybody, that's because of something in here. So let God show you what that is. I want to pray for you this morning. And then I also want to pray for those who might need healing because of words said to you or about you. And maybe you are having a hard time moving past those things. And you need God's healing. So, Lee, you want to join me? So if any of those things speak to you, like you need help controlling your tongue, you need God to show you what's going on in your heart so that you can change the way you talk, or you need healing because of things said about you or to you, would you just raise your hand so we can pray for you? Spirit, come. We all need help with our words. And so that means that we need you to work in our hearts. God, I ask that you would come and heal the wounds that have scarred hearts, that about with words that were said to them or about them. And heal. God, I ask that you would heal and begin to work through shame. God, I ask that you would begin to set people free from resentment and bitterness. God, that you would release people to forgive so that they can be free to speak life with their words. God, I ask that you would help those that have held on to that resentment or that pain as a defense mechanism to protect themselves. God, just break that off in Jesus' name. Give us hearts of flesh again. God, that makes us vulnerable, but it also makes us able to love the way that you want us to love. So God, I pray that you would set each person here free and as you search our hearts, God, show us where we need to forgive, where we need to ask forgiveness, and where we need to trust you for greater freedom so that we can use our mouths to bless and to encourage and to bring life.
I feel like a
along those lines that there are people who, or at least one person who, like me, was praying that you live just below the boiling point. You feel like you're angry all the time. And you're not going to necessarily identify that as pain, but that's where it comes from. So if you feel like you're just angry all the time, like, oh, everything ticks you off, that's a warning sign that there's something that needs to be healed. So if that's you, I would encourage you to stand with these that are standing for healing.
Sometimes anger, that simmering anger that's always there, comes from just rejection. Rejected from friends, or rejected from spouses, or rejected. It just comes out of rejection. You know, not that anger that is always avoiding them. So let's pray for you guys.
Yes.
Let's just be the church. If you see somebody standing in your mind, just go ahead and put your hand on your shoulder. If that's all right with them, say, hey, my pleasure, put my hand on your shoulder and pray with you. And let's pray for you. Father, today, we come to the cross and take this hurt, take this rejection, take this pain, and just lay it at your feet. Lay it at the cross. We don't want to carry it anymore. God, today we give up our right to judge those who have hurt us. Give up our right to want to get them back. Give up our right to want to see them hurt.
Yes.
God, we pray that you would forgive us for carrying hurt in our heart, for carrying bitterness, for carrying that pain, for refusing to let go of it. God, we pray that in exchange for that hurt, in exchange for that pain, in exchange for that bitterness, God, you would just fill us with love. Your love. Your love. Your love. Some of you might even now just need to kind of whisper that person's name who hurt you and just ask, forgive you. Forgive you. Forgive you, Dad. Forgive you, Brother. Forgive you, ex-spouse. Forgive you. Forgive you. I forgive you. It's hard, and you might have to say, I forgive you 100 times over the next year. God, we let it go. We make room in our hearts, God, for more love by getting rid of the clutter, by getting rid of the things in our heart that take up space, that bring pain and bitterness and unforgiveness. Get rid of those things and make room in our hearts, God, for you. Your Holy Spirit to work in us. How we do this morning.
Well, we're just going to sing one more song so you guys can get prayer or just finish business with God. So if you'd all stand with us.